Welcome to Expedition Self on OM Times Radio with lifelong learner, entrepreneur, and creator of the worlds of Expedition Self, Sam Parado. Sam shares 4 decades of studying, guiding, and teaching how to go inside so we can build an incredibly powerful, dynamic, and validating relationship with the self. Expedition Self is laced with stellar, unexpected insights about what it means to be human. Listen now and ignite your self-development process with Sam Parado.
Well, hello, good evening, bonsoir, buenos noches. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome. Welcome to the show this evening. I'm Sam Parado. I'm live. It's 8 p.m. on Tuesday evening, Eastern Standard Time. So if you ever want to be able to call in, this would be the hour to do it. Before I get into the show this evening, I do want to apologize that we've actually tried to invite Scott to come in and talk about his growth process, I think 2 other times. For those of you who, you know, get the weekly update that I'm going live, you're probably wondering, when is he actually coming on? So I am pretty sure that this time it's going to be, it's going to work, and that is next Tuesday night. Next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Scott will be here to talk about his life and how he came to be who he is and how that fits inside of this idea of what growth work really is. So, so tonight we're going to talk about this very real experience of being human that I describe in this show as trapped and clueless. Now, I'll bet when you think of yourself, you don't think of yourself as trapped and clueless. Maybe clueless, right? Maybe sometimes in some types of relationships or specific sets of circumstances, right? You might think of yourself as trapped, right? But we humans mostly think of ourselves as trapped and knowing versus trapped and clueless. Right. I guess you could also think of yourself as clueless, but not trapped. Okay. So I hope you're a bit intrigued by the title, because it's really eye-opening to think of ourselves this way and opening your eyes and the idea of them getting a little bit more, you know, expanded tonight because of our conversation is exactly what I'm all about over here. And that brings me to that, before I delve more deeply into our topic, I want to remind you what I'm all about and Expedition Self is all about. You know, our focus is specifically oriented to help people get more clear about how to go inside of themselves and live there in every minute, 24/7. This inward focus isn't just for when things are difficult or you're dealing with a big trauma or conflict or crisis in your life, or when you're trying to fix something about yourself, which, if you know how I feel about that as the basis for self-development anyway, that's a big no on that motivation. Or you just want to tap into peace and bliss of connecting with, you know, the divine love in your spirit. These visits to the self are not enough to really live a transforming and expansive life, one that gets you into the stream of living a fulfilled, self-aware, and extraordinary way, in whatever way you mean that, like whatever extraordinary would be to you. So each week, I try to talk about another way you can become more conscious of who you are and how you bring yourself to life, what the feelings are, the inner core being experiences, how you work with your core needs, and the ways to open up channels into your subconscious. This is it. I think all of life is an expression of this inner work, and the more you do it, the better you get it. When you own more and more of who you are, and you get good at being in relationship with all these pieces, and then the rest of life Well, it reflects this back to you, and you get to be more real and more authentic, and you don't have to try to be loving, because you then get in touch with the very essence of who you are, simply, my favorite line, because you breathe and you become love expressed in the world. And that doesn't mean you occur as loving all the time. So I just view this going inside as everything, right? And that's why this show occurs. So I wanted to take a moment and remind everyone about the focus and the point of why you're spending an hour with me each week. So I went to see the Barbie movie on Sunday, and it got me all riled up. And the part of me that's been trapped and clueless, and is at a place of not being quite as clueless about that, of course, we're always clueless about something, was super agitated at the lost moments and opportunities in my life. And you should know, I was a true Barbie lover. So getting to watch Barbie animated in life, you know, I mean, I spent hours and hours and hours putting the shoes on her feet, and you know, my grandmother made me really special clothes for my Barbie. Like, it was a super, super important aspect of my life. And so anyway, I'm going to try and avoid any spoilers for those of you who want to go see it. But I do think it's worthy of your time, whether you're a man or a woman. And it's will probably surprise you, right? But this is the thing about life. We don't realize how much we're trapped and to what degree we're trapped inside of a set of ideas or beliefs. And then think we're not trapped at all, right? That's where the clueless part comes in. So when we're trapped inside a set of ideas and don't think we are at all, right? That's the clueless part. Again, like, we know a lot of times when we feel trapped, but that's not really what I'm talking about tonight. So I'd like you to try something for me, with me for a couple of minutes, not for me, with me. Okay. Ready? So take some deep breaths. Okay. I breathed with you. So simply in this moment, see yourself in your mind's eye as a bland, blank, neutral body, physical body of carbon, bones, muscle, and blood. And make yourself one shade. So everything is the same shade. And it blends into everything around it, right? So that even though there's a body here, that it's blank, bland, and neutral, and it blends in to the space you're in. And in this moment, take in some deep breaths. Take one in. Take two in. And allow yourself to be nothing at all but the breath. Allow yourself to go nowhere, to think only of your neutrality, and take another breath and go in deeper inside of this body with no eye color, no lip color, a blendable skin tone, no hair with no color, just a body of nothing. And settle in. And allow yourself to settle all the way down your spine and into your belly. And really stretch through all that nothingness. And in this moment, if you're really embodying yourself as this neutral being, see if you can visualize the answer to this question. What is the biggest way you get loved and seen? What is the biggest and most effective way you get loved and seen. Take another breath. Drop into your body and just let that answer come right over you. What is the biggest and most effective way you get loved and seen? Now, if you got an answer to this question for yourself, which is really a way to say, how do you operate in the world so you get to feel good and important and wanted? I want you to think about it now through the lens of how believable this is. How much do you hold the answer to that question? What is the biggest and most effective way you get loved and seen? How much do you hold it as true? Okay, so we're talking about how you operate in the world so you get to feel good and important and wanted. Like, how do you do that? If you can come up with words for that. And then think about and see if you can connect with how much you hold it to be true, that it's real and it's right and it's believable. So go a step further now. All right. What put that in place? Where did it come from? Where did it originate from? What's the source of it? How does it fit inside your family or your community value structure? What is the biggest way you get loved and seen? And how much do you believe it to be true? And here's the next question. And then what would it cost you if you stopped being this way? What would you put at risk if you stopped participating in your life and in relationships in this way? I'll say it one more time. What would it cost you if you stopped being this way? Now, it's really important when you ask yourself these kinds of questions and you're going inside that you actually go with what you get, even if it makes no sense, even if it's not a full sentence, even if it's an image, right? A visual that you get inside of your mind, right? Like, you want to validate that anything that your unconscious gives you inside of posing a question to it, you want to take it and work with it. But at the same time, for a moment, I'd like you to notice your resistance to what I'm actually describing. And I think noticing resistance in the body is very hard, right? Because it shows up really like in everybody, it's a bit different, right? But there's something that creates like a cross current or an interception or a pull back in the body, right? So notice resistance to what I'm saying. That you're trapped, right? And you're clueless, and that you have this way of being that has you get loved and seen, right? That even had you go into this body form to help you get there, that was neutral, that was bland, that melted into the walls. And then what would you put at risk if you stopped participating in this way in your life, right? Okay, so this way of being that you developed along the way you get loved and seen, that's very believable to you about who you are or who you think you should be, and it syncs up with your beliefs about life, and you can see some cost to yourself, something you would lose if you weren't this. Now, notice which aspect of yourself won't even consider it. Notice which aspect of yourself won't even try it on, like a t-shirt where you put it on and feel where it's too tight or too loose. Or that part of yourself that's rationalizing all the reasons that what I have to say doesn't make sense. And call it in right now and tell me about it. I'm serious. 202-570-7057. It's just, I would love to hear what you found when you walk through that exercise I just described. But if you're not going to call in, I'd like you to doodle it on a piece of paper. Write the way you operate to get loved and seen or feel successful, and then how believable it is and why, and then the cost if you gave it up. Right? Just take a moment and actually write it down. I just feel like it's so helpful when we are working to go inside of ourselves. Number one, to go slow. And I think one of the things I've learned on the radio show over time is that I have a tendency to talk too fast, and it doesn't help us go slow. So one is to actually go slow, and the other is to trust what the subconscious gives us and to listen to the answers to those questions that we ask. And the third thing, of course, is to actually write it down somewhere. Put it on paper, put the pen in your hand, and do the sensory motor matchup, right, to the paying attention to what you're thinking and feeling. Because it's so easy, right, just to think stuff, but to get contact with it, right, we have to move a little bit. And so writing gives us the ability to move it, and it talks to the brain. All right, when we come back, we'll talk some more about being trapped and clueless.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
If I could be you,
and you could be me for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
All right, we are back. You're listening to me, Sam Parado, and we're talking about being trapped and clueless on the show. And just as we were going to break, we had a caller who responded to me saying, call in right now and tell me what happened to the experience. So Denise, welcome. I'm so glad you called.
Hello.
Hello. So you did the experience about becoming neutral and answering the question in your own psyche. Did you try that?
I did. And as much as I resist not doing what I'm told to, the kind of ramped up anxiety in my belly thought maybe this would be a good moment to call in and share.
So, are you saying now you're a little garbled, so I'm hoping your phone stays with. So the question I have is, when you went to ask the question, you were feeling anxiety?
Well, when I asked the question, it came right away. And typically I don't like to write down the right way because, you know, I used to judge them, but I went with it. And it was to look my best and to do something extra.
Wow.
And so I wrote down wow on the paper, and being an identical twin, it kind of fits for my world. And when you ask, what would it cost you?
Yeah. What would it cost you?
That's when all, you know, that like the pressure in my, I just call it in my midsection.
Denise, I'm losing you. No, I lost
oh,
that.
No.
When you said, what did it cost you? Tell me again. Try it one more time.
What did it cost me? That's whenever I felt all of the anxiety, basically, pressure, tension, the resistance through my mid in
wow.
the solar plexus.
Yeah.
And then whenever, well, actually, that second question is whenever you asked me that is whenever it really started feeling, I wouldn't call it a panic, but definitely ramped up anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, you know, I just want to say about that, you know, when you got the quick answer, which is this is what I do to be seen and
mm-hmm.
loved.
Uh-huh.
That the minute you start talking about the cost, really what happens is an entire mechanism underneath that sentence that was served up to you is now engaged. And I think to me, that's when we know the anxiety shows up, because you have even though the words came easy, what they're tied to is 1,000 strings that are wrapped around like a sphere of some kind, right? And one string folds into the other string. So it's not so easy, nor do we really want to see the cost, right? Because if we see the cost really well, then it's going to be more likely to get disrupted.
Well, that gives me a really good visual, but yes and yes. So.
Well, listen, I really appreciate you calling in, especially in this moment. I hope the rest of the show actually helps kind of make sense of what you got served up for you right out of the box, you know.
Move some of the strings out and kind of untangle them.
Well, I want to say I don't know about the untangling, but you might be able to see them more clearly. Okay, Denise, thank you so much for calling. Have a nice evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Well, I love it when people call in. Thank you so much, Denise. I appreciate you sharing your own journey with us. So, you know, I was thinking about this myself, right, as I was getting ready for tonight and how this plays out. And I wasn't just working off of being riled up about the Barbie movie. But I remember after I gave birth to my son, and I was not very happy. It was a lot of work. He couldn't keep food down. I was stressed out in a beyond belief. I was working a lot and I didn't want to go anywhere except to be with him. And I decided to stop smiling, which is one of my strategies in life. When I really get to a place where I've like had it, I did it in school. I did it at this moment. I've done it at other times. And I'll tell you, it was so disconcerting for people. I put my foot down and refused to fake it at the time. And me being happy or socially interactive was at some level part of my program. And I remember I said to one person, if you're going to expect me to be happy, then we probably should not go out for lunch because I'm not right now and I don't want to talk about it, right? Which is also another thing that would not normally be true of me in my world. I'll talk about anything really anytime. So it's a small example of what I'm really trying to describe, because I think we spend our whole lives buying into a specific way of being and operating only to discover at some point, and maybe not ever, that it was a trap and that it cost us, right? Like my attempt to try to be happy when I don't feel happy or smile when I don't feel it, it's at some level keeps me from really being present to what's going on and also to expressing that in my life. I just happened to, before I came on the show, I've got to find this on my phone because I saw this and it was a write-up from someone about his wife and it's her birthday. And he basically wrote, you are kind, patient, and you love like nobody. You give, you sacrifice, and you make sure the people around you are happy before you even give yourself a thought. You are truly perfect inside and out. Okay. Now, do we want to talk about the trap that that is? Right. And the trap of the ideas or the beliefs that actually really go into it, right? Anyway, I was so struck when I read it because I thought, wow, that doesn't give her a whole lot of room. And at some level, she's probably fully participating in it. So if I say to you, you do not have to live there. You don't have to stay in that job. You don't have to exhaust yourself. You don't have to caretake. You don't have to be married. You don't have to put up with someone who doesn't want to be emotionally available. You don't have to keep cleaning the kitchen in the same way. There's this part of the brain that would say, yes, I do, because, and you'd have really good reasons why it should remain that way, or why it is that way, or why it's your luck lot in life, or your plight. And of course, this is the clueless part. We don't see what's really driving the way it is. I've talked about clueless things before, but, you know, I don't know, that movie, it brought me right back to the places where I bought into things and believed them so deeply. Right? I tied 3 decades of my life. It took me 3 decades to see them for what they really were. Because when I was in my early 20s, I declared that I was going to stay married. I was going to prove that it could be done and that I was going to make it happen no matter what. And then I did for the next 30 years. And along the way, I convinced myself and everyone else around me that this was the only way to do my life. And of course, here's the kicker. The creative cost for me was immense. Because when we get trapped, we're also prevented from pursuing what's out there, outside of the walls, outside of the bars, that could be a part of our destiny. So I didn't change careers. I didn't meet people who might have helped me change careers. I didn't volunteer my time in an unconventional way. I didn't entertain living somewhere else in the world. Right? I didn't actually envision anything new while that was running its course. I believe sometimes when we get trapped and clueless, things run their course faster, but this one didn't. And so it led to another cost, which is I didn't have the energy to put into my life that I might have. Now, this is important, right? Because I was living inside the walls and I was clueless about it and I didn't understand how it was holding on to me, right? I took naps on Sunday afternoons because I was tired. Which, of course, everybody can be tired, but I was tired because I was trapped and didn't know it, which can cause an energy drain. So it's like you're inside of a place that looks normal, that we accept as the way it is. At some level, we're happy with it. But we don't know what we're missing on the outside of that. And we don't even realize that some of the things we're dealing with, like being too tired, are really a byproduct of staying inside the four walls. And if someone had said to me, which they did at times, it doesn't have to be this way, right? I would have said, what are you talking about? I like it. This is what I want. And if they said, well, but you could be living in Ireland and creating amazing art and writing books, I would have said, are you kidding? I'm not a writer. and you know what? I don't need to do that. I'm happy here. And then, of course, me being defensive, of course, I would have said, why are you criticizing my life choices? right? I would have been more than resistant, and I probably would have felt insulted. And actually, I was saying this like it as if it might have happened, but I got to tell you, it did happen at some moment or another, right? Because people talk to each other, right? Under all of it lives this place where I was trying to be enough in my own eyes, and I only had so much attention and energy to do it. And this is where, like, our core foundational selves, that it has a place where we have bought into, we have been indoctrinated into, we've participated in some way or another at a deeply, deeply traumatized and unconscious way for all humans, I believe, of this idea of having being powerless and helpless. Right. And this not enough thing, which I talk about all the time, it's so embedded and so woven and ingrained into it. Right. That the constant trying to prove to ourselves that we're enough keeps us trapped and clueless. So I had a form, I had an identity I was trying to live up and into. And I had made gobs of commitments out of that. There was no adjusting that because someone told me it doesn't have to be the way it is, right? I wasn't bought into that. And anyone who would have tried to get me off of that, you know, would have been seen as a meddler and a pushing, overbearing friend or family member who should go focus on their own life, not mine. Trapped and clueless. Trapped and clueless. And this is why I say to people that the single biggest factor that cost me my life, cost me things in my life, is being stubborn and self-defended. Because by being those things, right, it precluded me many, many times over from getting to see how I was trapped. I hope that this is helping you think about the things in your life. And it's not about undoing, right? I've had a great life. I've learned a lot. But inside of it, when I really look at what are some of the secret wise discoveries I made along the way, and I am still now working with because I got to have the discoveries, this is really what comes out of it, is that we're trapped and clueless and we don't know it. And so I want to talk about why being trapped is super hard to unwind. It's kind of what Denise and I talked about. It's because it's tied to these deep-seated needs that we have to be safe and loved, acceptable, worthy, and valued. That's number one. And of course, the roots of this are deep. They go so deep. They speak to what I was talking about, that core foundation. The second issue with being trapped and all of its tendrils is that it gets mirrored back to us by the people who are in our community, right? Who surround us as we, you know, go through life, the world at large, the other, right? And it looks believable. And the way it is. And it often has repercussions and ramifications if we deviate from it. This thing that we're trapped by, this idea or this way of being. So if a family has this agreement to get along in a certain way, to not display emotional outbursts and make people uncomfortable, and someone actually does do that, they are at real risk of losing their family's approval and acceptance. I imagine every person who's listening right now, I can think of a moment, a little one or a big one, where your family or your immediate community has actually shown their disapproval of someone's actions when they deviated, right, from what the norm was. So the minute the community models this entrapment back to us, it's the minute we start to assess and register the potential loss to ourselves, the thing that we're potentially going to be unwilling to give up. And of course, believe it or not, it reinforces itself in this clueless area because the part of the psyche or the brain that would push on those bars that are locked, well, it begins to shut down in apathy. It begins to numb out. It begins to reorient itself so that it can continue along the path of getting those needs met. And the thing about being trapped and clueless is that sometimes when someone is determined that they can't get those needs met, they go the anti-trapped and clueless route. So now they're trapped in the opposite, right? I can't fit in. I'm never going to be able to change that. I just avoid these things. It's useless. It's like, you know, useless waste of my time. And now they're permanently, they've just placed themselves, right, permanently entrapped and clueless on the outside rather than the inside, right? They say, I'll always keep these things secret because I'm not going to challenge what makes everyone else uncomfortable. So therefore, that's a permanent trapped and clueless place because they don't see the cost and they made a choice about what they're not going to bring. See, it's like what I'm trying to really describe is how much we collude, right? We collude with our environment, and in the collusion, we convert ourselves into being happy with it. And as we're doing that, we begin to shut down the aspects of ourselves that would be disruptive, or the aspects of ourselves that wouldn't go along or would challenge the norm that we've adopted as the way we do it. All right. When we come back, more on Trapped and Clueless. And if you'd like to call in, 202-570-7057.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, we are back. I'm Sam Perotto, and we're talking about being trapped and clueless tonight. So you see, the complex nature of why we agree to be trapped is defendable. It's something we'll fight for, and it's complex. Did I mention that it's complex? Because the another layer of what is at play is that it's tied to our ability to feel things. Right. So if I'm in an environment growing up that doesn't teach me to be okay in my sensory makeup, well, then that means I'm not developing the capacity or the wherewithal to question these places where I've bought into my personal pit of the way it is. And the further I get from what I need to feel and my ability to feel it, the further I get from the source of what had me buy into these ideas in the first place. so they're not accessible to my consciousness. If a family or a community doesn't model speaking openly about how to question what's going on with who we are or what's happening, why this matters to me, what happens if I don't do what everyone else is doing? Well, then that person, that child, that employee, that anybody, right, is taught how to actually shut down the very competencies they'll need to pierce the veil of their own cluelessness. And whether they're reinforced to stay there because of positive affirmations, you know, like positive feedback, oh, I love you so much because you sacrifice yourself, right? Or negative and painful feedback, which is, I don't like you when you do that. Don't talk to me. I'm going to freeze you out. Without the expertise to notice the self, they may never truly see the origin and source of their own cavern of the way it is. I have never met anyone who wasn't a victim in some way of their own entrapment and resulting cluelessness. So think of these questions. Why am I disappointed by life sometimes? What do I regret? What do I wish had happened that didn't? What would I want if I could have anything? And then think about your answers and how much you hold them as true. I bet you see very little neutrality in them. So part of this complexity, did I mention how complex it is to break out of your chains and lack of awareness? Is that you don't see enough in a believable way of what you're going to get if you get free. That future is what doesn't seem believable. That future doesn't seem believable. Right, that I would feel free enough to be and do these things that aren't considered acceptable or lovable, and the risk wouldn't cost me everything. Are you kidding? So without that capacity to feel, to be connected to what's going on in the self, well, then I'm happy enough. I'm satisfied enough. What can you expect? And I don't see what the real gain will be. And somewhere underneath there, I've established that the risk is too great, and I don't have a sense that it's within reach or it's doable. I will have a lot of reasons why breaking down my current status quo, like the world I live inside of, the bubble, is not a good idea. It'll make me unloving. It'll make me selfish. It'll make me a jerk. Do you know how often people around me begin to speak about their truth and then say something like, I know this sounds selfish, but I really want X. I must hear it 10 times a week. And as if this isn't enough, there's more to this complexity. You know, this complex design or shape that makes it really challenging to get free of the jail cell. And when I say complex design or shape, I tried to describe it to Denise. To me, it's a sphere, right? That has all these threads or tendrils or strings woven across it. But the other thing that makes it really challenging is our need to stay safe. I think this is why a lot of people move towards these extreme sports, or why Tony Robbins did that walking on hot coals when he first started out, right? The idea of if you do something that's scary and it gets the brain to start experiencing the state of not being safe, well, then at least you trigger, right, some shift out of this enclosed imprisonment that we're in. So you throw all of this together. Our core needs, the reflections we get back, the feedback we're given when we take the risk to step away from these places, and then the missed opportunities to feel and be connected to our sensory centers, and then the very human desire to stay safe and comfortable and knowing. Yeah, I have to throw even sometimes that need to be right is in here for good measure. And you can see why we're clueless. We have to be, because there's too many factors arranged in such a way that it eludes our true knowing, our true understanding. So, you know, why do I get so riled up about this? Because all of what's possible for you lies outside of the prison you live within. And all of the wanting you might have can only be found outside of it. And all the extra energy you need lies on the outside of those bars. All this self-care we're talking about, at some level, the reason this self-care keeps going, you know, off the edges and going out of people's thought processes is because it lies outside of this, these walls that all look the same, that all look like normal, that all look desirable, but are in fact programming. Look around the room you're sitting in right now. Look at the way you're living right now. Think about how you'll spend the next week of your life. How is it the same as you've always done? What have you bought into that is at the root of your life and the way you live it and your expression in the world? I know, the clueless part of you is likely blocking everything I'm saying right now. And it probably is because stubborn and self-defended are clueless as bouncers. Let's show you to the door. Samparado, we don't want to hear it. See, if someone doesn't reach you at the exact moment when you're open, right? When you're like focused on it, or there's some crisis or something, if you don't cultivate getting open, if you are surrounded with people who reinforce the value of remaining inside of those four walls you live within, you're not going to even begin to notice that there's something going on in the way you are living. You're not going to notice unless something tragic happens, or something giant happens, or some failure happens, or some loss happens. And to be quite honest, that's why really those very big experiences are like growth work in work clothes, right? They're growth in work clothes. You know, I hear people talk about retirement as if that will be the moment when they're no longer in some metaphoric trap. They'll decide what they're going to do each day. They'll have time to spend with the people they want to. They'll travel. But do you know how often it doesn't go that way? Because the waiting for it to happen outside of us, looking forward to circumstances changing, it doesn't have us go and disrupt it and dislodge it and look for it right now, right now, right in this moment. This complex design I keep describing has your thoughts plastered all over it. It's like one of those round spheres with cross threads woven through and around it. So in my case, I have a lot of threads that have to do with how I make money, how I spend it, how I manage it, how I relate to it, what I want for myself. And a lot of times there's a ton of tension on the threads that weave from one idea to the other, one choice to another, and one aspect of my life. And over the last couple of years, those threads were getting very taut. And I was getting more and more tired, feeling more and more like I would have to wait to get some relief from it all. If someone tried to tell me it didn't have to be that way, I'd argue. They gave me a suggestion that sounded like I have to give something up, I'd shut them down. I cannot tell you how inaccessible this complex set of threads on this sphere had become. Right? Wouldn't use this money for that event because it was supposed to be for this. Would not spend this money because then I'd feel like I was deprived. Every one idea, one limiting idea flowed into another very believable need and rationale. And the whole time, the rope was getting tighter and tighter around my body and my day, my sense of possibility. Our relationship with life, with time, with family, with friends, with our jobs, and with our health, and our own self-care lives inside of trapped and clueless. And remember, when I tried to describe from the cage, we often can't see what we're missing. It doesn't look possible, it doesn't look believable, and it doesn't look enticing. And so to me, this is the role of jealousy and envy. It's really such a gift because it helps us see what lies outside of our current program that we've invested ourselves in, what we feel selfish about. It's something that deviates from the standard, you know, habitual day. Like when we watch movies or read books that make us long to do that same thing. When we meet someone who we wish we could spend more time with, or who has a job that embodies all the things we always wanted to do. These are the glimmers of what lies outside of your repeat channel, of which you are largely unaware. Why do you think we're so fascinated by influencers on social media? By people who take risks, who act silly, who share half-baked songs or ideas, who don't have to look beautiful all the time? Or by people who are living a richer life, or television shows that depict lifestyles more incredible than our own? It's the person inside the cell yelling, "Let me out! Hey, does anyone know I'm here anymore? Is anyone out there? Hey, I want something else to eat besides the same dish I've had for the last 37 years. When I went to that Barbie movie, it reminded me of all the ways that I took on some role as a woman that's completely a byproduct of our patriarchal society. And oh, did I do it with a smile on my face. And I believed it. To the point that I was so ungrateful decades ago for the women's rights that were being put in place for me at the time. And then there's the entire way that I bought into human beings needing to be good and kind. My first paper when I went to college was all about the golden rule and being good to each other, and right? And this idea that being human means X and Y and Z, stay in control, be responsible, call people back within the day, greet them with a welcoming sense. Don't tell people when it's time to go home. Rudeness is unacceptable. Listen to people, or at least appear to, when you're bored and you can't figure out why they're repeating themselves for the 100th time. Go along with others when they say things so they don't feel bad, right? Be productive, because otherwise you will feel like you've wasted your life. Being in love is awesome. What's on your list? What's on your list? What did you buy into because of your gender or your race or your religion? And then what did you buy into because of your career or your choice of work or your ambition or your determined sense of things? And then what did you buy into that has to do with what a human being should be or should look like or should do? Do you realize that all of those things are robbing you of even seeing more possibility for yourself? What would it be like if you said to yourself, right now, I am trapped and clueless and I don't want to be anymore. I'm trapped and clueless and I don't want to be anymore. If you really do it, you should feel something. And it's possible if you feel something that this will scare you. Because it might be a feeling you are uncomfortable with. And if this happens, well, you'll need to then learn how to deal with feelings you don't like. And if you do this, then you'll want to get into some activity or group process that helps you identify and lay out the ways in which you are imprisoned. Through exercise or creative stuff or through media or through somebody who's really a great guide. You want to surround yourself with an openness and a desire and a curiosity to see what you're clueless about. And the more you can place it in the everyday, the more you have something to remind you, whether it's a daily text or whether it's a note on your mirror or whether it's a friend that you talk to every day or it's some 30-day cool exercise you found on the internet. The trick to all of this is to do anything and everything to penetrate the jail cell that you live inside of and notice that there's something about it that you didn't realize you don't believe in anymore. So on that note, I want to say thank you for sharing the week with me. I look forward to seeing you next week when Scott's going to come. And I have this really cool new magic wand, so I'm going to wave it and hope it comes through the mic as I say good evening to you and have a great rest of your week. Here we go. Ready? Did you hear it? Okay, I did it a couple of times. It's my new thing. I'm going to use it on the show because I really love the sound. And I love magic, and I hope this feels a little magical to you as you close out. Au revoir.